today on Anchored in the Word.
The amazing thing about the church, it is human, made up of human beings. Now, full of the Spirit, right? That's one of the themes of the book of Acts. They were kept getting, they're filled with the Spirit. So it's God working in a human being's life, working in them, and then working through them to accomplish supernatural things. In other words, things that are beyond what a human being could normally accomplish. And that's what we see as we look at the book of Acts.
But I'm anchored deep in your clinging love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Have you ever stopped to think just how impossible it would be for the church to accomplish all that it has without God's Spirit? In all reality, this is actually 100% spot on to the truth. In today's message, Pastor Bill reflects on the amazing reality that God chooses to use His church to fulfill His will on earth as it is in heaven. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 15 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
If you got your Bibles, if you'd open them to Acts chapter 15, Acts 15:32. Now, Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now remember, when we're going through the book of Acts, we're looking at the model for the church, you could say, the way things were when the church started, when the Spirit of God was poured out and the church age began. And so as we look at these things, and remember, there isn't a perfect church today, when we think of local bodies, and the church at large, the whole body of Christ, isn't perfect. Jesus is the only perfect one. Now, he's seeking perfection in us. I mean, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect, but it's a God work. Only they could do something possibly like that. But we are set apart from the world, and there is an expectation that the Lord has for his church, for his bride, as we are called. One of the terms that's used for us, the church, is his bride. What we're going to look at here is some day-to-day operations of the church at large. We're going to see what the Christians are involved in, and it's a key here to this passage. We see it mentioned in verse 32. We see it mentioned at the end of the portion there in verse 41, and the word strengthened in the New King James is used. Strengthen the brethren. You know, Judas and Silas were strengthening the brethren, and it says there in verse 41 that they were strengthening the churches. Same thing, different way of using the churches and the brethren. The church is not the building, it's the people. So there was a strengthening going on. There was a strengthening. So what can we see as we look at this passage, how the strengthening was taking place? We need to be strengthened. We're out in the world all week long, and we're interacting with the world, and there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world. There really is. Opposed to Jesus, opposed to Christ. And so you find yourself you know, stressing in some ways, I guess, as you interact with the things that are going on in the world. It's contrary to Christianity. And so we come together whenever we can, not just on Sunday mornings, whenever we can to get together and to be strengthened in the work. Now, so we will look at this strengthening of the church, what it looks like, what it consists of. But I want to talk about two things this morning, because what we're going to find in the strengthening of the church, there is going to be some exercising going on for the strengthening. Very important, right? To get strengthened, you need to exercise. What we're going to see is a different kind of exercise, spiritual exercise. And we're going to see the exercising of the gifts. We're going to see exercising of self-control. These two things we're going to look at as we look into this portion here. But both of these things are going to be used and are used by God to strengthen his church. And we need strength in these last days. So we're going to see the strengthening of the church. I want you to note that there's a huge God component going on here in the strengthening and the exercising of the gifts, the exercising of self-control. The amazing thing about the church, it is human, made up of human beings. Now, full of the Spirit, right? That's one of the themes of the book of Acts. They're filled with the Spirit. So it's God working in a human being's life, working in them, and then working through them to accomplish supernatural things. In other words, things that are beyond what a human being could normally accomplish. And that's what we see as we look at the book of Acts. Now, again, we're not puppets when we come to Christ. We're not just solely, we don't have a part in this anymore. We are encouraged to walk in the Spirit, terms like that, to walk in the Spirit. And it has this connotation to it that we have a part in it and God has a part in it. We have a part and God has a part. And so we'll look into this today as we look into this idea of strengthening the church. Verse 32 says, "Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." Now, I want you just to see something, first of all, that some translate this, by the way, they strengthen the brethren with long sermons. So I'm feeling a little bit free today, or like a little freedom today. Like, you know, it says it right there in the Bible. Let's have a long sermon, right? Just kidding. But that's what it says. They strengthened the brethren with many words. Now, I want you to see that these guys were prophets. They were ones that, a prophet was one that spoke forth, a foretelling and a forthtelling. A prophet is someone that could speak. In other words, God would speak through him and he could predict the future at times. And it would be, if it was God, it would always happen. Or it would be a foretelling or a forthtelling. They would be guys that would speak forth the word of God. In other words, the Bible. That's prophetic. Everything in the word is spoken by God, so it's all prophetic. But prophecy, that gift was given to build up the church. It was words of exhortation. That's what prophecy does. When you're building someone up and when you're speaking into their lives to build them up, exhortation, encouragement, that is, there's giftings of God being used. Now, these guys were called to a specific office, you could say. But what we see is these guys are just walking in their giftings. They're doing what they're called to do in the body of Christ. And as a result of that, and other people too, we'll see, are doing the same thing, differing gifts, but walking in their giftings, the result of this is the church is being strengthened. And it's amazing. I want to read to you from Galatians 6:10 first. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I want to talk to you this morning. What we're going to focus on is the body of Christ, the family of God, the body of Christ, the church, the saints, believers, Christians, the way, the household of faith, the children of God, the brethren, the followers of Jesus, those that are on the narrow path, the sons of God, the bride of Christ, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, sojourners, pilgrims. Are you one of those? Are you in the body of Christ this morning? Are you a believer? If you are, then God's got a specific plan for you. He's got gifts that he's given you that he wants you to exercise in the body of Christ. You have a part to play. We all do. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. Now, I also want to read to you from Ephesians 4. I'm going to read you from Ephesians 4 regarding this idea of the call that people have on our lives. 4:11. Speaking of Jesus, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Those are offices. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everybody doing their share. There's nothing more beautiful than that in the body of Christ. When people are walking in the giftings that they've been given. You know, I've had a chance in my life to play a lot of basketball. I can't tell you how many hours I've spent on the basketball court. It kept me out of trouble when I was younger, so it was not a totally wasted time. But you had some good days and some bad days. But I remember some days on the basketball court when you had certain players were on your team and they were doing what they were good at. They were all fulfilling. You know, there are different positions, you know, on the basketball court. You know, there's centers, there's guards, there's forwards. And each person has a specific job on the court. And when people are doing what they're called to do and they're working together, they're not being selfish, they're not trying to do somebody else's, you know, job. You got the 7-foot guy wanting to take the 3-point shot. I know in the NBA that's not abnormal, but you know, a 7-footer, he's a rebounder. Stay close to the basket. Don't go way outside of the basket. You're the biggest guy out there. You want to get the rebounds. So the idea is though, some of those days, I remember just it was so great, and it was just like everybody was having fun. We were gelling as a unit. It was like a fine oil machine, and the result was we were winning games. I mean, that's what happens when you do that. There's a joy going on, and people are doing what they're called to do, and it's a beautiful thing. And that was one thing, and that's an earthly example of that. But we're talking about now spiritual things with the body of Christ. We're talking about eternal things. Eternal things. When we're firing on cylinders, when we're all doing what we've been called to do, walking in the giftings that we have, nobody can stop us. The devil doesn't, he can't come against that. And what he tries to do is to thwart that by getting us infighting and different, you know, playing on the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, getting the body of Christ off track, you know. One of the things about basketball that we knew that we had a team on the ropes when they would start arguing amongst each other. Oh, we loved that. I mean, because we realized, oh, they're done. When they start infighting amongst themselves, they are just really weak. They're really weak. And think about the body of Christ as a chain. And you've heard this, that the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You've heard that. It makes perfect sense, right? So the idea of strengthening is this idea of, you know, there are strength, you know, weaknesses among us, and we want to strengthen the weak links. I mean, that's what the body of Christ is. We look out for one another. They were looking out for one another, and they were walking in their giftings in verse 32, and it says that they were exhorting, they were strengthening the brethren with long sermons or many words, godly words, you know, and just a word on words. Words are very powerful. You can build up with your words or you can tear down with your words. That's just the way that it is. James talks about this idea of the tongue being a very powerful member. Though the smallest member of the body, of the physical body, it's very powerful. Very powerful. It can do things for good, it can build up, or it can start like a forest fire, James talked about. So our words are important. And there were words of truth, words to build up, godly words that they were speaking and preaching. And verse 33 says, and after they had stayed there for a time, They were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. Now, remember, we talked about last week, or the week before, I should say, we talked about the idea of worshiping the Lord with our time, our talents, and our treasures. We talked about that. We see that these people, this is costing them. There is a cost. They only have so much time. We only have so much time in our lives. We only have so much time in the day. We all have 24 hours. But they had taken time to go and do what they were called to do. They were spending their time wisely. And you're always spending your time wisely when you're doing what you've been called to do. It may be long days or long nights. Jesus was a great example of this. You know, he always did what he was called to do, and he had some long days if you look at his life in the Gospels. No wasted time, though, in his life. But it says that they stayed there for a time, and then they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. Now, verse 34 says, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. It seemed good to Silas to remain there. So they're thinking it's time to go back. Now, Silas decides along the way, you know what? I need to stay here. And I'm believing because of what's going on here, because it's the strengthening of the body, not just a person. I'm believing that Silas wasn't staying there because the surf was good in that particular time. Or it was just happened to be a good time of the year. It was warm there or something. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things that we can fall into in the flesh. I remember when it was in 2002, when the Lord was calling me to come here, I was teaching in Jonah at the midweek Bible study. You know the story, right, of Jonah. He was a reluctant prophet. He did not want to go preach to the people that God wanted to preach to because he knew that God would be merciful. And he hated those people. They were enemies of his people, and he hated them. And he said, if I go there, God's going to be merciful. I know he is. Sure enough, he was, right? And so I'm teaching through this, and I'm at the portion where, if you remember at the end there, he's up on the hill right after he's preached, and it wasn't a very eloquent message. It was, turn or burn, baby! I'm paraphrasing that, but it was like that. And he's sitting up on the hill, and the sun's beating down on him, and he is just miserable because, then a plant grew up over him. God sent the plant to go over him, and he was shaded. Oh, he was happy then. He had his creature, he was happy then. But then the plant, of course, went away, and the worm came, and God, and he got angry again. But here's what happened. As I'm teaching through this, as I'm studying for that study there, Pastor Brian Broderson comes to me and he says, what do you think about New Jersey? You know, I was happy where I was. I mean, I was happy in Southern California, been there 18 years, just loved the weather, loved the church I was in and everything else, knowing that someday I would go, probably be sent out. But he says, what about New Jersey? And I got to tell you my first thought about New Jersey. Now, I'm from Maryland, okay? I fled the East Coast in 84, okay? Away from this weather, you know, that I've been complaining about for my whole life, probably, right? And I finally escaped. This is dramatic, okay? But so the first thought was, when he said New Jersey, my first thought was, oh, it's cold there. By the way, can I get an amen? I mean, you go outside right now, it's cold here, right? Now, you know, it was just a thought I had. I wasn't even aware that I was thinking that until I was doing my study. And then God reminded me when I'd heard about his people that needed a pastor, my first thought was, it's cold there. And I wasn't thinking, oh, those poor cold people, they need somebody to come make them warm. I wasn't thinking about you or anybody else. I was thinking about me. It's cold there, and it's so nice here. It's still true, by the way. But the Lord showed me, look where your heart is. Look where your heart is. And I was like, whoa, you're right. I didn't even know I was like that. So many times, isn't it? We don't even know how wicked our hearts are. We don't know how selfish we really are. But God shows us lovingly, not to just to condemn us, but to change us, to show us our hearts so many times. And so we repent of that, and then he can then use us. But that's just the flesh of man. And so I don't believe that Barnabas was doing it for the flesh. I believe it was because he saw a need there. He realized that there was a hole that he was filling there and that it wasn't quite time. You see what I'm getting at? It was an unselfish thing. I really believe that, that he was remaining there because there was a need there. It seemed good to him. So verse 35 says, "And Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." A couple of things. First of all, Paul and Barnabas, teaching and preaching, very important in the body of Christ, the teaching and preaching of God's word. It strengthens the body. But I want you to see something. You know, you can only name so many names in the Bible. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they're going to get a lot of press. You know, Paul especially, if you want to call it that, in the Bible. They're going to get a lot of time in the Bible. But I want you to see something that you can just read right over. It says that they preached, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Many others also. It's not just about Paul and Barnabas and Peter and John and those. There were many others it takes to make up the body of Christ. And when you get to the Bema Seat judgment, that's going to be the place where we're going to be sitting around having a meal with Jesus, and there's going to be rewards given out at that Bema Seat judgment. Not heaven and hell stuff. We're talking about just rewards that Christ is going to give his people. And there are going to be people there that are going to be brought front and center that you're going to have no knowledge of. They weren't in the Bible. They were not famous people like Billy Graham. Nothing against Billy Graham, but he's ministered to a lot of people. But you're going to hear about other people, the others also that were faithful. What were they faithful to? It wasn't about how large their ministries were. It was about, were they walking in the giftings that God called them to? Was this the life that they were called to live? Were they being faithful to what God put before them? And so there were others also. So we see here Paul and Barnabas walking in their giftings. Not just them. He said there were many others. It takes a whole bunch of parts to make up a unit. And the Bible, of course, likens us, the family of God, the body of Christ, to a body, right? The body of Jesus, the body of Christ, because a body is made up of many members, and they just operate together, right, as one unit. And that is what the design is for the body of Christ. There aren't any lone rangers in the body of Christ. Well, there are, but they shouldn't be, is what I'm getting at. We're a unit that we work together. One of the things about the communion service that a couple of years back really jumped out at me, and it was this, is that the communion was not just a between you and God, okay? Because we're talking about a closeness now, okay? That needs to happen. But the communion service was, you know, think about the root of that word where we get our word community. You know, it was about the unit. The unit, the whole unit. We were coming to the table together as the body of Christ. So there was more to it than just a one-on-one with you and God. It's bigger than that. We're all coming to the table. We're acknowledging that we not only need Jesus, but we need one another.
The birth and growth of the early church came about because of one thing, the influence of the Holy Spirit. The apostles who had followed Jesus were no more than human beings, not suited to lead a movement or even stand for very long against persecution. However, as soon as the Holy Spirit came on the scene, all of that changed. Peter, John, and the rest of Jesus' devoted followers stepped forward boldly, declaring the truth of the gospel and changing hundreds and thousands of lives. Their courage continued when facing intense opposition from religious leaders, even to death. They knew the truth. How could they stay silent? Today, we too know the truth. We have the early church's example to follow as to what faith can do. And we also have the Holy Spirit on our side. With His help, we too can step out in faith and boldly declare the gospel message with the world. We hope today's message from the book of Acts has lit a fire in your soul and brought you closer to your Savior. If you'd like to hear more from this series, we encourage you to visit our website, anchoredintheword.com. In fact, you'll be able to find several additional teachings from the Bible at this website. We encourage you to share them with friends and family you feel would benefit from hearing them. That's all we have time for today. We pray you continue to seek the power of the Holy Spirit as you walk through this life, and that you continue to be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.